the beginning of channel 2 right. This is channel 2 right, the beginning of channel 2 right. This is the beginning of channel 2 right. This is channel 2 right, beginning of channel 2 right. Whenever Willie turns up again. I just talked to him. This is Sunday night. I just talked to him. He said he'd be here shortly. First thing Monday morning, the 2nd of March, 1970. Monday morning, the 2nd of March, 1970. He's going to see about putting that acoustic tile on the kitchen ceiling.
I don't see him nowhere.
I got to go out there and do something with that fool horse.
That I was going to show to Mr. Miles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I just took it out of your hand.
No, I was going to show it to you to that.
Who's right here?
Hey there, Doc. How you doing?
Have a seat there.
Think you hadn't got time.
Oh, yes, you have.
Got to go to work.
See, which way is them ceiling joints running? There would be no.
Ceiling joints? 320. How'd that figure out? 80 posts for $16.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. 80 posts generally cost around $80 now.
And you see, you got 80 posts at 20 cents, 320 posts at a quarter.
Oh, yeah.
A quarter of a dollar.
How'd you?
Well, you see,
I
told you last night on the phone, this is the only time I ever had any luck. I never had this kind of luck before. And you've had it all your life. It's time for me to have a little of it.
Well, I'm out of post. Talk about luck.
You had luck all your life, and I ain't had none up until last week.
If you seen these old fence posts I got here, you wouldn't call that luck.
Yeah, but look at all the other things you got. You got pretty out-of-town track out there for nothing, practically.
Yeah.
Just like I got these posts for practically nothing.
Yeah.
See? That's what I'm talking about. All this here and more you get. You even got a new door there and all such. I don't get that.
How'd you find them, Willie?
Well, I was going out to hunt posts. I had to have some posts. And
You still got some right smart fencing to do?
And cousin of wife, but who has been, well, he almost died. He had cancer in his mouth, and they taken out all his lower jawbone and cut all in here, you know, and he just don't have no face at all, hardly. Well, he got in a predicament in his fence, and all this sickness he's had was over a period of 6 years, and so his fences all went downhill, and so he got out hunting some posts that he could afford because he just bought some posts from a bit of copper chemical that didn't last but 18 months.
Yeah.
And so he paid, I don't forgot now, but anyway, he went down and hit a farmer's and bought 100. And, I'm pretty sure he told me he paid either 79 or 80 cents a piece for them, somewhere around 80 cents.
Well, farmer gets them from copper, don't he?
Right. And so they didn't last. And so then he goes to, he decides, well, he's going to get on the coppers. So he keeps hounding coppers until coppers comes out and says, we'll replace these here that you've got this rotted off. So the man went around, checked his fence, and of course, he had them hauled out there and dropped off at his house. Coppers did. But he said he put them in and they didn't last no time. Well, they rotted off the ground. Said the cow rub on the fence and it'd break if it didn't rot.
That's right.
Well, like I tell you, you know what's causing this? They're cutting that, now they're thinning out this modern pine patch. And these this new type pine tree does not have the strength in it or the quality of grain that the old natural pine, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, the old native pine.
Yeah.
It don't have that grain in it.
Yeah.
And it grows fast.
Yeah.
And it's very soft. Well, they just about last as long. I mean, last just about as long chopping down, throw them in a hole as it will to carry them up by the coppers and get them treated. So I've been told. I hadn't dealt with them. That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
So anyway, He bought some posts a long time ago from Mount Bronson, and he went over there and he couldn't find these folks. Apparently they passed out or on or down the road, didn't want something. Anyway, he was inquiring around, and this man told him, he said, well, I said, there was a post plant out here. And so they were making these posts, this railing post fence. You know what I'm talking about? They drill a hole in the post and round off the end of a rail and stick it in there, you know, and such.
Oh.
And they went out of business. And they were cutting cedar and cypress. And so he said, now them people had some posts. I don't know about. So he finds a direction, goes out there, and the man's got some posts. And so he told him, he said, you can have these posts here for 30 cents. So he buys him 50 of them and comes on home. And I told him, though, he come out the house to borrow a chain. And
now, who was that?
Mixon. Maxie Mixon over at home. So he comes down at a bar chain, and I tell him, you know, that if he finds any, I'd like to know about it. So he comes, that was last Tuesday. So he comes down Tuesday night and tells him about the post over there. Well, I get up Wednesday, and I go over to get the post, and when I get to Williston, the bottom falls out, and it just rains with such the downpours, you know.
Yeah.
I have to turn around at Williston and come back, so I make another rail for Thursday. And so I finally find this place. And the man told me, he says, he carried me to the post mill and he showed me. Now, this belongs to Bryce. You'll notice that Bryce Crate Incorporated. But they closed the mill, post mill down because it was costing them money, so this fellow said. Well, anyway, he told me, he carried me back to the post mill, back behind the sawmill, the box mill, crate mill. And he said, you can pick out anything in this pile here for 20 cents. And any other of these piles here, it's going to cost you a quarter. And I said, well, you want me to come by and let you count them, come by the office? I said, I don't know. I said, these long posts, I doubt I can haul 50, but I'm going to haul them in as I can because so far. I said, no. He said, you just go ahead and you get as many posts as you want while you just come by the office and pay me for them. So I just hauled posts after 2 days as hard as I could.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Just one chip after another.
One right after the other. I poured the coal on that old truck. And one right after the other.
Yeah.
And when I found it, I went through everything he had. I got just about anything that was worth a 5 cents. Mm-hmm. With the exception of some sap cypress, which is no good at all. And I think this is where he tripped up. The man tripped up, actually. Well, he's telling me he had about 5,000 posts out there. And the tax assessor come around, you know, and they had discontinued their post business. But somebody told the tax assessor, you know, they had equipment around there that was valued at so much, and they had posts and stuff piled in the yard out there. And so when the tax man got through with them, why, they was owing a lot more tax on that than the mill was worth, the post mill. And so they decided they'd better just get what they could out and post and move them before this tax business got too rough on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a world of these coal post rails, you know, they call them, where when they mill that end off, you know, to make it round to go into this hole at the bore into the post, it splintered it up and it would have broke it or something, it'd be a curl. See, they couldn't recut it because it'd be too short. And they had a bunch of them that piled up then, so they'd take the bulldozer and just bulldoze them out in the edge of the woods. Well, of course, they broke up a lot. I guess they broke up several hundred of them right then at one pile. And the thing is, break in the middle, if they just break a foot or two off in the end, it wouldn't, you could use them. See, it'd be worth 20 cents. Be glad to pay 20 cents. That's all hard cypress.
No.
All hard cypress. Everything else is hard cypress. But the post that I paid 20 cents for is as good as those I paid a quarter for. He wanted to get the thing cleaned out. he said, I believe I got a man here that'll clean this out if I make the price right. I think that's what he had in mind when he carried me down in there and showed me this pile of them. And it was a messy looking thing. And when I first looked at it, I said, there ain't nothing here of any good. When I drove up, you know how your first sight of vision or first thought of a thing, it's all messed up and gobbled up together, you know. And posts sticking up, and some pushed into the ground. You can see where the bulldozer's been running over them, you know. I don't think I want much of this. But I get out there and go to digging, and I got, I guess 175 a better post about that big around hole like that. But they're only 6 foot long, but that's long enough.
Good Lord, yeah.
For a corner, part size.
Yeah.
That's the post, you know, they drill a hole in the side and stick the the rails in.
Yeah.
Some of them are pointed on the top. Some of them they never even get around to point them. They drill the holes in the side, but they didn't point them. That's a different operation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they shut the mill down, they just left everything like it was laying.
Good.
But he said that I don't forgot now how many posts, it's 75 cents a piece.
Mm-hmm.
That were big posts, 7 foot posts.
Yeah.
Well, I bought half of these posts, 8 and 10 foot posts. I can put them in the ground twice. That's the reason I bought them. Now, they ain't going to look too good. They're going to be sticking up high, you know, but I don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, when they rot off, I just knock staples out, you know, and dig me another hole right beside that and drop it right back in the ground. I don't have to haul that post in there. It's already there.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's the reason I kind of you got all of them that I could get a hold of. I got
mm-hmm.
mine now getting 2 posts for a quarter. So, putting back the hole, see when the rocks off. But if these posts, now I bought a few Chris Oak posts, not very many. Four or eight, 10 years ago, I bought a load of cypress posts. And they all were getting to fall apart. I mean,
yeah.
That's the born fall apart. And the fact is, every now and again, I put lighted posts in. You know what lighted is? A light wood. I put one, and that's all it's holding up most
yeah.
of the time.
Yeah.
It's all it's holding up. Well,
that's
like
right.
If I pull them staples from them posts, well, sometimes there'd be 10 or 15 or 20 posts.
Yeah.
They all broke. And they just
all the others are just the wires hanging on them.
Right. And all I got to do is pull that one post, and the whole fence will just fall.
Yeah.
Well, I had that happen, and all the cows got out. You know?
Whether you couldn't use electric fence some on that?
Well, I could, but you still got to hang a post. You got
yeah.
to have a post to hang. Of course,
yeah.
you know, I got to get to work. I ain't planted my corn yet. It's 8 o'clock. Good gracious, I'm lying. Let's see that. That's 6 to that 10.
Yeah.
Whoops! I hope that ain't loaded.
Oh, that's on my phone.
And that's 12 and 14. I was just going to show you this here thing here, though, so you wouldn't think I was pulling your leg. This is the devil.
Yeah.
I'm afraid you might think I was pulling your leg. But the reason I got these like this, the
yeah,
man told me that the tax on them, and they didn't know it, you know, they was paying, what do you call it?
Inventory tax.
Yes, and on all that stuff.
And you pay it on all your
sure.
stuff out there that you record.
But, yeah, but now that they see what they did last year to keep them paying this tax this year, they're taking the bulldozer and run through this stuff, you know,
yeah.
just plowed it all up.
Yeah.
These big pins and piles.
Yeah.
They just pile it up so they can they tell the tax people over there, see that it's destroyed. They
just waste
up. Yeah, they waste. So they just gonna burn what's there.
Yeah.
But he said they've sold 5,000 posts.
5,000
in the deal.
Good. Yeah. Hell, I never had over 20 posts at one time, really. That's a fortune.
I tell you.
That's wealthy.
I let Frankie have some of these posts. I say some, I let him have 200 and half of them, because he was in as much need for posts as I was. And I hated for him to have to buy these posts at such an outrageous price. That's 14 feet across there.
Would you haul them in your pickup?
I hauled 6 loads, which in the wind-up, I had estimating the first trip, I kept mileage on the rest of the trip. I drove 18-20 miles. with my truck, and I borrowed my brother's little truck and hauled full loads of it.
Yeah.
And one that works up at university, he got a little Datsun. You know them cotton picking things? I didn't think there was any good. That thing's tough as wet leather.
Oh, yeah.
If it just had a body on it, you know, there were springs that they hold up. It don't sag down as much as mine did with 40 posts on it.
Yeah.
And that darn little old thing, and pull like a mule.
Yeah.
Out there in that old sand over there, you know. I told my brother Frankie, the one that farms the home place there, I said, now, let's be careful of that darn thing, because I said, I don't want to tear it up. But I see, the thing about it was, we lost 100 posts. We'd have got 500 if it hadn't have been a man come in there Thursday night and hauled some. Hauled 100. And of course, he picked over a pile that I had my eye on that I hadn't seen Thursday when I first went in there, because I had a, see, they just scattered out over about an acre. They just had them pushed, you know. I say acre, half acre. They just had them pushed all into that bulldozer.
Yeah.
And just to, you know, gomick them up, make them look to the tax assessor, you know. I guess them don't, them ain't no good.
Well, how'd he get in ahead of it?
Well, everybody's been hauling them.
Oh, have they?
Oh, yes. Everybody's been hauling them. And I just happened to get in on the tail end of the thing.
Yeah.
But Maxie on Monday paid, Mixon over here, he paid 30 cents for his. And his post the same as mine.
Yeah.
But you see, they're beginning to look raggedy now because they were looking raggedy. They are raggedy now because there's nothing left with that sap.
Yeah.
See, we just went through the piles. 2 days we worked at this thing, pulling all, just going through them piles and pulling and picking right down to the ground. We'd tear them down, you know, and go through and get all the heart. And we went through every pile out there except one, and it's right in front of a man's on up the road there as you come into the post yard. The man got a trailer parked up there, and it's right in front of his trailer. And it's piled neat and nice, and I just figured possibly they belonged to him about 50. And I didn't bother him. Frankie said, well, I said, the man said, get what you wanted. I said, yeah, but they're right. Well, they were then close black pile from here to that shed. That trailer out there, not that shed, backside of that shed, I guess, in front of that man's trailer. And I hated it because it was stacked nice, you know, and it cleaned out around them, like maybe he's afraid he might get burned. But if they'd have been a little raggedy looking, hadn't been stacked so nice, I'd have just backed up that load of them up.
Yeah.
But we had this man moved in there, come in there, and we met him coming in as we was going out. And the man that, Mr. McNutt, the superintendent for Bryce Creek, you know, he said that a man went in there and got about 100 on Thursday night, or I seen him Friday and was mentioning it to him. And he said, well, a lot of boys from around Bronson, that people that Bryce knew and he knew, he'd been letting them go in there, just like they're letting me, you know, and you just, when you get through, you just come tell me how much you got and pay me for them, and that'll be it. So,
Well, when are you going to get your posts in?
Lord, man, let me get to work. Great, day in the morning. I've got to get them in this week.
14 foot.
A part?
Yeah.
No, 12.
I mean that wall there.
Oh, well, they used to put them 12 foot, and some of my posters are 12 foot right now. See, that's... That's 15 feet, Evans, John. How'd they get a room 15 feet? That's more than 15 feet, by
grabs. Or maybe it's supposed to be 16. How much is it on the other side?
Jim, which other side?
On this side.
Well, that side? That side there is 14.
Yeah.
I believe I put down there.
You mean it's not square?
Mm-mm. Now, see, I said this was 6 along there, which would come out right there on that picture. And 12 and 3 is 15, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
That'll have to be 16 foot stuff, though, or you can't get 15. All right, now that sits like that. Do you have any trouble here with any of the equipment?
Wait a minute, let me get this out of your way.
I don't know how. I'm going to make. Let me mark that down before I forget it. I don't know about you, but I have to get too quick.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
And then I got this little twiddly bit down in here. Ceiling down to the top of this window. Yeah.
How you do that?
Just set you in a, strike your line across and put you in a 2x something, lay your rafters on, ceiling doors.
Yeah.
6 and 3 is 9. Great Lord, no. 6 and 4 is 10.
10 foot.
I've taken and done a lot of these houses, got these high ceilings.
Uh-huh.
That brought them back to 8 feet.
Yeah.
But you couldn't get this 8 feet. Yeah, you could get it back. You could make it, it ain't 2 foot in that, so you could bring it back to 9.5 feet, which wouldn't be too bad. But you got, there's very little, this is so close, that's close enough to that now.
Yeah.
And if you brought it down, any, well, the price of 2x4s up there wouldn't want, I mean, it wouldn't want to change. That'd be too close. But if that flue was down lower,
say, well, you could just,
out through that.
You could just put it down where you want it and just leave a little, opening there for that to go
through. Come out here and go up and back down.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you want to spend some money, don't you? I just wondered though, is this sheetrock up here, what is this?
I don't know what it is.
Is it plaster?
I don't know.
I gotta find out.
I thought it was just sheetrock with that stuff put on it. I didn't put it up there.
It was here when you come here?
Yeah.
You don't reckon it could be a sheetrock? I'm gonna tear out that piece of mold, that's what I think I'm good to anyway. I'm
no.
Gonna tear it out anyway to put this ceiling up.
Tear it away.
I'm gonna see what it looks like on that back side.
Let me just take them out. That'd be the.
And out there, they might even get dirty from the dust off of that salt.
All right, I'm gonna just take them all the way out.
Hot water rises?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, sure. Just like heat rises. And they
just sit down, Ben.
I will. Okay. I just
lower unit, the element should be higher than the top one because the heat rises, and that's what we have. Now, was there anything else about
that? How high was it when you changed?
Oh, gosh, the bottom was 160, and the top was 155, I believe it was. And did it crack down in there?
Mm,
yeah.
It's nice.
Well, now, what happened? I mean, was it just set that way to start with?
No, well, you're supposed to set them.
Yeah.
When they come, they're not set. Always when you install one, you're supposed to set there.
Well, I remember Mr. Eastman said that where he worked at. He was a maintenance man there for for years and years and years. And he said he called it a jukeamp. They had it set in the dishwashing up at 200. Is that possible?
Well, I don't know what kind of heater he had it set at 200 commercial, I guess.
Yeah.
This heater here won't go that high.
Yeah.
You can't get that much temperature out of this heater. This, now, he's speaking in terms of commercial. Now, normally, well, on any public job, they don't allow that hot of water to come through a spigot. Now, they wear a sterilizer where your hands don't get to it, but they don't allow that much, that hot of water to come through in the spigot, especially on your state job, like university and such as that, because people are subject to sue states, because of getting the hands scalded.
Yeah.
Well, they don't allow it. About 145 is all they allow to come through them spigots at the university.
That'll make you think it's scalding, yeah?
It'll scald you, but that's the minimum. Now, anything that comes through a spigot in where they sterilizing them, well, then people are supposed to know about this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a notice, or either there's somebody in charge there that cautions them. Most of the time, there's a caution notice there.
Yeah.
That this temperature of this water exceeds so much, But on where the water is really hot, and it comes out practically steam, which is 200 right at. That's only for sterilizers, and your hand can never get to it. I mean, you gotta open your whatever you're washing goes through this thing, like your dishwasher. You can't get that'll scald you in your dishwasher, but you can't get to that temperature because it's away from you. See, when you open that door, your dishwasher cuts off. Or the same way with your sterilizer in these hospitals and things. When you open that door up, the temperature cuts off. Or that circulation of steam cuts off. But actually, he had the cold water hooked up on the hot water side. And that's not right because, you see, you can look on that and it says hot on one side and cold on the other. And it's... this way, if the company hadn't stamped that into that metal, it wouldn't have been necessary to put that cold water on the cold water side. There's a reason for it. They wouldn't have stamped it on there. They wouldn't have identified the two outlets, one different to the other, one hot and one cold. And so you see, on the cold water side, there's a tube about that big that goes all the way down about that far from the bottom.
What's that, a filter?
Oh, no. It's just a tube. It keeps that hot water from running out into your kettle of cold water from flowing out into your hot water. You see, that puts your cold water right down at the bottom. Your hot water comes out up here at the top. So that pushes your hot water right up and keeps your hot water pushed up to the top here to your exit for the hot water seat.
Hot water goes to the top? If it didn't, they'd do it the other way, wouldn't it?
Right. You want your hot water to come up here. And when the hot water, because the heat rises. Well, this tube that's down in here, inside the heater, this pipe comes on down from where the cold water comes in. It comes down, this right at the bottom down there. That keeps your cold water away from your hot water up here. You see, if you, say for instance, you are, your hot water heater is working to capacity. And you're taking a shower or something, and when that cold water floods in there, it just kills that hot water up at the top up there. it just killed it.
Yeah.
And that water's got to, that heater's got to run all the time.
Mm-hmm.
With it coming in down the bottom, if it only just a little bit you take out and just a little bit comes in, you never know it up here. You never know it.
Oh, yeah.
You never know it's ever been any water coming
in. I'd make a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
But now that's what I want. Go ahead.
I just said maybe that's why it's been running so much.
Well, it'll make it run.
Oh, it had. Now it hadn't run. It had.
No.
I hadn't heard it running since you left last night.
Mm-hmm.
See, you put that when you put that cold water goes in there. It that cold water just spreads out all over the whole heater. When it goes in, the pressure pushes it all into the heater. But when it follows this tube, or this pipe down into the bottom, it hits the bottom down there and it stays down there. Because cold settles to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Heat rises.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Willie. Now, you think you're cooling, but now you see, I don't know these things, and I appreciate this information.
Well,
let me tell you. This heater, you see, I knew something wrong with that heater, but I didn't know what.
Mm-hmm.
I told Faye what you said, that had more gook in it than yours would ever have. That
oh, yes. Mine wouldn't have that much because it burns more of it up.
Well, now, how's that?
I don't know. Some heaters do that. Why?
Just open that and look at it now, Willie.
You got it on?
Yeah, it's on light.
Oh, gosh, that's burning enough. That you cleaned it out, haven't you? Huh?
No, I didn't touch it.
Well, you see, it's burned a lot of that off.
Well, that. How do you light yours?
Right through the end.
With a little piece of paper?
Uh-huh. Toilet tissue.
Oh, well, I use newspaper.
Uh-huh. You should use toilet tissue because toilet tissue burns up either Kleenex.
And just
you
a little piece of it?
Yeah. You see, your newspaper leaves ash. Newspaper leaves a lot of ashes. And toilet tissue or Kleenex don't leave no ashes at all. Did you know that the ashes from a toilet tissue or Kleenex will go up that thing then? It's so minute, you know, so small, or so it's nothing but dust when it burns out. Now, newspaper has ash. You can burn newspapers and you can see, you know, a whole big chunk of ashes will float off into the breeze when the wind's blowing.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Sure.
Well, that'll congregate. Now, a lot of people, some people, when they find out that this is not the thing, they quit using it. But I had a friend that used newspaper, and I was at his house one night, and he takes. We'd been off fishing and it turned cold, and he takes a whole half a sheet, you know, wads it up and stuffs it up there at the hole, and then he lights it. He puts the stuffs it in the hole, and then he lights it. Then he takes it, he's got a little old punch stick laying down beside the heater, and then he punches that down into the kerosene. And his heater was that deep, I guess, in ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having all kind of problems with it. But really, your toilet tissue completely, or your Kleenex, the ashes disintegrate. There's just no ashes at all. But newspaper makes as much ashes as wood.
What kind of heater do you have?
Spark.
Is it a tin thing like this?
Well, a cabinet is, but the burner's cast iron. See, mine's made, my heater's made for, to be stoked. You know what a stoked heater is. That's a heater that you put an automatic stoker on it, and it can be thermostatically controlled with a stoker. That's where you blow your oil in through a, in other words, if it's real cold, that thing can blow this oil in that under pressure, see. You don't wait for a gravity flow. This little motor starts up, you know, and this gun shoots this in there, and you have electrical heater here that heats this kerosene on the way in through this stoker. And it does it automatically. If it gets going real cold, you know, or when you first light it, that thing will just pour it in there just like a welding machine or a blowtorch or acetylene torch,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
This thing shooting this blaze into the heater where the oil is. But you've seen my heater.
No, sir.
Oh, yes, you have.
No. Mm-hmm. I've stood up there by it, but I never took a look at it.
Yeah, I know you stood by.
Well, Willie, I paid $7 for that one. I guess you paid more than that for yours.
Oh, yeah. I bought mine, I bought in 1950. And so you see, it's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Well, Well, it'd be good as new if it hadn't been that when I first bought it. We set a pan up on top. It's not grilled. It's solid on top. It has solid kettle on top. Now it's grilled around the edges and the front, but on top it's not grilled. And we set water on top of it. Now, the children would be small, you know, and at night so we always keep a pan of water on that for the moisture. Wise, to keep more keep it from getting so dry in the house.
Yeah.
And also, she'd use it to wipe the children's face off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're always getting them messed up, you know. So in the wintertime, she just kept a rag there, you know, and after she'd probably bathe them, you know, which most of the time most mothers do in the early part, and then when they went to bed, she'd give them a little once over, you know, and by Joe, this pan sitting up here, and then we didn't have a ceiling when I first got out here, and we run it so hard to keep the house warm. There's no ceiling in it.
Oh.
And it was cold. And that old tin sheet metal roof, you know, made bad.
Oh, that's right. I remember, when you first got over here, your house was unfinished or something.
It's still unfinished.
People was getting after you. And that was something like sealing, something important about the house.
Well, the walls in the bedroom are not sealed, but
yeah.
They're sealed on the other half, see, which makes that you can see the framing on the inside.
Yeah.
But the overhead ceiling, I sealed that. Well, I built the house in 49, and let's see, we lived the winter of 49 and 50. And I bought the heater in the fall of 50.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived the winter of 50 and 51, and there without any ceiling in none of it. The whole cotton picking house didn't have no ceiling. I had one center partition run down to hold the frame of the house up. You know what I mean? In a house that don't have trusses, you have to have something to support your framework. So I had to put up a center partition going through the center of the house to hold my roof up.
Yeah.
And that's all I had.
Yeah.
But I built that house. The man told me, he said, you got to move out. And of course, I didn't want to build at the time. And I didn't want to move out the house I was in. But he got mad and he wanted the house. So I went over there and built this thing. Just kind of started off with nothing, you might say. But nevertheless, I run that heater so high until and with that pan of water sitting on that, it rusted the top of it,
mm-hmm.
and I never had done anything to it.
You don't, now that little thing out on it now, well, tell me, that's, now this got that, hell, it's got that tin, what do you call it?
Burner.
Well, why would they make a burner out of tin?
Well, it heats quicker. It heats up faster. Just like your red hot heaters, your old wood red hots, they used to call them.
Yeah.
It got
well,
stamped.
Is it dangerous?
No, because if that oil starts running out, you'll know it. You know, if it starts to leak, and that oil starts running out, you'll know it, and it won't hurt
you. You see, Willie, these are things I need to know.
Yeah. You'll know it because it'll start stinking. You'll be smelling kerosene. And then you wonder what in the world's happening. Then you find, you know, that you got a leak in your burner, or you'd be lying somewhere. But the cast iron burner, it has a once you get it hot, that's the reason we don't ever cut it off. Hardly we turn it down on pilot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we automatically, I could put a control on it and save this and save a lot of oil, but I just never have done it. But that old burner gets hot and it stays, keeps a lot of heat in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Where about your tin, you can turn your burner down on this tin here and it's just fire there, you know, and you not got any heat in it. Nothing to hold heat, that's what I'm trying to say, nothing to hold heat.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like your gas stove here. Now, you don't have to have this element in this thing here to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
These clay elements. But that heats.
Yeah.
Oh. See, I didn't know that.
That gives twice as much heat to have these little clay elements in there. Now that thing will work without them things.
Yeah.
But it won't give no heat like it does with them. Them little elements, you see that clay gets awful hot. It gets red, that clay does. And that makes more heat. Anything that'll hold heat, it'll get hot like that does, will reflect heat, see?
Mm-hmm.
So you see that reflects heat out. In other words, you're heating something here to generate more heat.
What's the secret of this little dual syrup over there?
Well, the main thing is that it heats fast and it's economical. It don't use as much kerosene, and it's a very doable heater for it's, I don't want to build that little burner out of it. It's tin, but it's a good tin because I know I've got some. I just looked at the heater here a month or so back that I installed in Ms. Hooker's greenhouse back in 53, I believe it was, and it's in that moist and wet. I identified that, and I was trying to think yesterday why I put one in. I knew it, and it's somewhere around here close to that, but I've installed several of those heaters.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about getting rid of it because it's getting old, you know. Well, of course, the outside rusted because in that greenhouse, and they got a mist that they spray in there all the time. They got a watering system that just puts out a mist, you know. And this mist is just like a fog in there. And of course, it blows on that heater. And it's identical to that same heater.
And it'll rust the outside of it.
Yeah, it still heats up. And I got it on the automatic pilot. I got it fixed up where it comes on and off, just, you know, by itself,
yeah.
Automatic.
Now, that was standard equipment in the 50s. So that's about 10 years old, isn't it?
Well, no, you mean to be automatic?
Them to do a thing like that.
Oh, yes. Now, you see, that's the best line heater that Duotherm made. And they made three sizes of them. Now, this is a trailer heater here. There's apartment size and then the regular house, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? What do you want to call it, commercial?
Space heater.
Space heater, right. And of course your largest size is about that long, about that wide, and about that high. Look like a chest of drawers or something. I know you've seen it. Real expensive looking things, and they cost about $200.
Mm-hmm.
But this this heater here, I believe, is less than $100.
Mm-hmm.
It cost me like 1953, four, somewhere on.
Well, that's pretty good price.
You ain't joking, it's a good price.
Yeah.
Let me get this thing going.
Well, let me get you, let me tell you. Tell me one more thing for you before we start, and then I'll help you. You make up the time.
And I got to go, and I want to hear.
I told Faye about this, now this is something that you have to live with. You have to live. You see more often than I do. Don't you know? You said yesterday your nail sack was out of nails.
Mm.
Well, I said, well, don't you get enough nails to go ahead and work? Well, you quit back, you know, that you got half through. And then you know, you got it. I guess you just have to think of it. You said, no, you know, the way a fellow ought to do. About this time of day, you see, about a half hour before you go home, you see, you go over there and fill up the nail sack, and you get it full.
Yeah, go bent back like they said, punched over, so loaded with nails.
Yeah.
To take home with you.
Carry them home with you.
Yeah.
You don't use them, you just take them home with you.
Yeah. Now your daddy, you can't do that because your daddy.
Mm-hmm. No. One nail is more than I could afford. But if you notice, these are my nails in my pocket in this left pocket. You know the finishing nails I'm doing? These
yeah.
are my nails. And the pocket where I was using your nails, there's no nails.
Why
would
my
you? Nails. But,
what'd your daddy have to do? Was he strict like that?
Oh, no. You could, if you picked up anything around anybody's house, if it was just a, like the arrowhead I picked up here, you know.
You never did take that.
No, I forgot about it. But it was raining so darn hard until I didn't have time to think about nothing but a way to get out to that truck and wade water knee deep.
Yeah.
But anything you picked up around somebody's house, you could, if you wanted to ask the people if you could have it, that was all right.
Oh.
But you shouldn't leave without asking them. any kind of rock or stone or anything. You just don't walk off of folks' things. That belongs to them.
Well, now, he busted?
He'd tell you if he caught you. That brother of mine that I'm working for, or did work for, he whipped him so hard one time about cousin. He had run this store at Flemington. And he was down there and used to have this penny chewing gum. You don't see it anymore. It used to be one stick. You could get one stick for a penny.
I remember.
And where they got bubble gum now for a penny. You used to have just regular plain chewing gum like Juicy Fruit or Spearmint and such as that.
Yeah.
Well, he picked up this penny piece of chewing gum. And, of course, you can't have chewing gum very well, especially if you're young and without chewing on it. You know, you can't just hold it in your mouth without chewing on it. So we were coming home. Daddy had an old Martin T, and I never will forget it. We was chugging along, and old Martin would sit back. Nah, 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 nah. Daddy says, "Boy, where'd you get that chewing gum?" And sit there, you know, and didn't even budge. And Daddy reached over and shook him. He says, "Where'd you get that chewing gum?" Martin said, "I hadn't got any chewing gum, Daddy." He said, "What are you chewing on, your tongue?" Went on out. We got to the house. No, just before we got to the house. Like I say, you know, your glands, your taste buds refuse to let you hold a piece of gum in your mouth without biting on it, chewing on it, you know. Well, he cut that thing a time or two like a billy goat, you know, and then quit. He realized, you know, he was chewing, and Daddy was watching him out of the corner of his eye and driving that old T-model down the road. He just put that thing to a sliding halt, you know, and got out. Went around there and opened the door and drug him out and wore him out. I mean, just tore him up. Made him spit chewing gum out on the ground.
And you didn't forget that.
So we kind of go back down there. And he knows, a penny. Shoot, he ain't had no penny to buy no gum.
Yeah.
So he goes down there and he gives Cousin Charlie a penny for the chewing gum, see.
That's your daddy.
He tells, he says, "Charlie," he says, "the boy stole a piece of gum off of you." And he said, "I come back to pay it for it." And of course, we go out and get an old T-model and we chill back home.
Yeah.
All this, you know, has to be straightened out. You can't lay down at night without getting straight with everybody in the community, you know.
Oh, really?
That's your dad?
Oh, yes, sir. You can't go to sleep with it. If there's anything bothering you, you know, you got to go get it straightened out. But that's the best way to live.
Yeah.
You don't. Then you don't have no problems.
Was he the one who Guy was telling me about? Was it your dad, your daddy, back in those days that you everybody helped each other?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And then after the...
Oh, go off fishing for a week or two, you know. See, something. However long we wanted to go. Back then they just, everybody, you know, pitched in. I can remember come time to bale hay. Well, they didn't bale it back then. They cut it and chopped it, you know, put it in stacks. And they'd start here at this farm, and they'd clean up all his hay. It had to be cut. And then they'd go to the next farm, and they'd get his. And then they'd just go all the way around until they got everybody's hay in. And everybody had the hay in. And nobody really strained at it, you know, because there'd be 8-10 people working all the time. Where otherwise, it'd just be one of you. You know what I mean? You'd be trying to struggle with your little one bit. Then back then the hand broke corn, and everybody chipped in, you know, and broke everybody's corn. And where it'd take you several weeks to break corn, get your corn broke in a day and a half.
Yeah.
And everybody had a lot of extra time because they helped everybody, and everybody farmed big. You see, we had anywhere from 75 to 80 acres that we hand worked.
Yeah.
Why, a modern farmer today, to hand work an acre, he refused to do it. He wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it because he wouldn't know how. He don't know how to hand work an acre. And plowing and such as that, now most of the time, unless you got sick or your stock got sick on you or you lost a mule or something, you usually worked your own crop, you know. Unless, like I say, something happened. And then they'd come in and take it. I know several times after I got a pretty good sized boy, a lot of them would quit that, you know. And But actually, I got a pretty good sized boiler. My daddy sent me and my brother, you know, so you better go over and help the smoke so we don't even get the corn flat out because the weeds is eating it up. And it's burning us up. Ooh, Lord, I get so mad, you know.
Oh.
There wasn't nothing in it, you know. It just, I mean, you just do this because the people was in need. They needed to be helped, you know. And this is it too. But people don't think about that anymore.
Well, now, you never took off to the swamp with them hunting.
I never. I was real small back whenever they was doing that. In fact, then it's like I say, Daddy got to where he was 40 when he got married, and he got to where he only went a few times I can remember. Now he probably went more times than I could remember.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got to where he didn't go too much. Or didn't go in at all, unless it was, you know, for a short time, and then you come back by yourself, or anybody else that wanted to come back. But that you take most all the ground that was cleared over in that, that is mostly cleared right now, was done by him with an axe and a mule, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they do an acre or two, you know, a year.
Yeah.
And they say, well, now this is what we're going to do this winter. This is in the wintertime, you know. This is what we're going to do this winter. And they do that. If you didn't get it done, well, it was trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Daddy talk about, of course, a lot of this was done before I was born and before he got married. A lot of this was done. That they'd go out, you know, and they'd have a task for the winter of so many acres or this plot. They say, well, we've got to clear up this much, you know. And everybody'd come in and they'd clear up that much on his farm, and they might clear up 10 or 15 acres that winter. Just by hand, they asked
me. Let me tell you what, I need to get to work. Let me ask you, don't you know, I pulled down this bundle of writing paper. And you asked me if I paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said,
yeah, that's what started.
I said, yeah, I got so, I'd just rather go ahead and buy it. I don't enjoy chiseling. And Willie says, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Now what is that about your ledger, about your daughter?
Oh yeah, I started this cemetery deal over there and got, I needed a record, you know. And
never had been kept.
Oh no, never has been a record of the who's dead or who's buried in the cemetery. Never has. And so I'm trying to build up a record, you know, of everybody that's buried in there. I went in there and gotten names, and I'm getting addresses, and I'm going to dun them for some money. I will, it's going to work, but anyway, I'm going to get a letter off right away for each child to a parent that's buried there, whether it be mother, father, both. But anyway, the daughter that works up at the university, I was talking about, and she said, Daddy, I could get you, she went on to tell me about what all she could get, you know, even a cabinet to file all of this in, for nothing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
From the university. I said, oh, no, I couldn't use that. And then she went on to say she wouldn't get it anyway, you know. She was just joking. So, but there's too much of that stuff that's hauled off, and she telling me about, you know, that people, if you need this, why? And she was telling her boss man about this, and he said, well, go ahead and get it. Go ahead and get it. You just, if you want to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But she wouldn't do it. I know she wouldn't. But she's in a position. She's, since I was over here, she's been advanced. She has an apartment of her own. I mean, she's head over this department in Key Punch. She has a section, you know, that she's boss lady of. But there's many things that hauled off.
Oh, I have. If you name one or two, what was that? No, I can't.
I was telling you about myself. I had this job at the government. That's probably what you think about.
Yeah, how'd that go?
The head man. I was talking about tools, you know. I could get anything I wanted,
yeah.
And nobody ever knew I got it. I could have had thousands of dollars worth of tools, and nobody would ever know I had them, because I kept inventory on all the stock and did all the requisitioning to the government. Back then, so I always had the requisitioning form. And nobody had, I was in charge of that. And if anybody wanted anything, they had to come to me to get a requisition form.
Now that's before you went in the Army.
That's right. And so I got this little turning lathe, you know. And that was a cute thing. For making boats, you can make all kind of boats. You cut your thread, you know, for making special things. And making little special tools and such. And, well, when I first started off, I worked as a tool and die maker over there. And then I got this job of keeping stock of all the equipment that was needed. And I'm the head man, boss of the whole shebang was in there one day. And I said to him, I'd like to have him. He said, well, go ahead and requisition for it. He says, you don't have to worry about me or anybody. He says, I never know you had it. So just go ahead and fill out a requisition. And we sent everything to Birmingham, Alabama, because that's ordinance for this area, you know, government ordinance. And it goes there. Now, they take that requisition in Birmingham, Alabama, and they wire all over the country until they find what you want. And then it's like I was telling Guy, ship a lot of stuff shipped from New York, although I sent a requisition to Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about them, I was talking about those little crescent ranches, you know. Well, at the time, you couldn't buy them around because the government had taken up all the stuff, you know. You could buy stuff, but it's cheap stuff. And it had already stuck a price on it. And I could have got, they ain't no telling how much I could have got that. And they had, I ordered a bunch of Allen wrenches, and those Allen wrenches run up, anywhere from this teeniest little hairpin size to 3/4 inch in diameter, which would be about like that, you know, which takes a pretty good size Allen screw out or in. And I got ordered a bunch that was too hard, you know, and when you pull on them, they'd break, the hammer would break off. So, of course, they was thrown around there, and they were good metal, good tool steel. So I take them and made some coal chisels out of them. And that's the only thing I ever fooled with, you know. They was thrown in the garbage. They
now, you chiseled all them.
I chiseled on them.
Yeah.
But they were in the garbage.
They were thrown away. They were junk. And I just take them up. And you know, actually, what I felt bad about was using that stone to grind that point off on that thing. Because it belonged to the government stone bit.
Well, I've heard people say this, Willie, that you see the office you work in or the fellow you work for, you always think about, well, you see, in this I can chisel, I can get my life insurance cheap, or I can get my tools for nothing or something like that. Always figure.
Always.
Figure.
I know some that don't do nothing but that. They just constantly trying to figure out some way to beat the boss, or to beat the concern of the company that they're working for.
And they think it's
their
due.
They do that. Just like Barbara said. So Daddy says, you know, says you'd be surprised that the things that some of the men and women both in the office of that administration building in Gainesville at the university have got office equipment and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like the best typewriters, you know, the best brands can be bought.
Oh.
And the best adding machines and such as that, you know. Why, shoot, they put in a requisition for it and carry it home with them, brand new.
Yeah.
And I asked her, I said, how many you got in your house? She said, Daddy, she said, you've been in my house, you've seen any? She said, you know what typewriter I use? Said, that old typewriter you bought for me when I was in eighth grade.
Let me tell you something, Teddy. Guy put that dog chain in your car, and that's not chiseling. You think that thing's home with you?
Well, I won't work. We won't worry about the dog thing right now.
That's
you know,
right.
I tried to remember. Let me tell you something. You never have eaten a meal with us. One time,
yeah.
I think
yes,
you swapped me a cookie for a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so mad at you, I don't know what to do. Would you let me fix you a bowl of soup one of these days? Not today.
Not today. Is this paper here? Can I use it?
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole wrap of paper.
That'll be fine. I tell you what I'm going to do here now. I've got each one of these boards here.
All right.
Like Gus and so. That'll be fine. I would enjoy that. And I appreciate the offer. That's how it works like this, see?
Okay.
Just like that.
Now, this is the end of Channel 2 over, I think. I don't know. It's about 8:40. About 8:40. And we sat around this Tuesday morning, the 3rd of March, 1970. And this is about a half hour we talked at the table in the kitchen before Faye and Mama went on in. Faye went to see Carl at the office about her eyes. And these are some points that came up yesterday. That's Tuesday. That was on Monday. That is on Monday. No, they're not on tape. We taped a little bit Monday. And then we just talked. I didn't keep the tape on. But I made notes. And these are from some of the notes. And we took them down. Here are three subjects, three and a half, I'd say, three subjects this morning from the notes that I made on Monday, the 2nd of March, 1970. And this is Channel 2 something. Channel 2 something. I think it's Channel 2 over. And it's taped up to 8:40. This is up later than that now. And just half of it, say from around 500, is on Tuesday morning. The rest of it I made on Monday. The rest of it I made on Monday.